Thank you. I don't know about you, but sometimes it just feels as if we all just need a rest. The planet needs a rest. The people who are in conflict need a rest. And it sometimes it feels to me as if everybody is just longing for a break from it all. I think we all have a deep longing for something. And when I was young, Christmas was a time of great yearning. If we could have the PowerPoint up, please, that'd be great. We're thinking about Emmanuel, God with us. And when you're a little kid, you know it's all about Jesus coming, but really it's all about the presence, isn't it? And I seem to remember when I was very young, just having really intense yearnings for things. I was passionate, like my little granddaughter at the moment. All she wants for Christmas is a black microphone. Don't ask me why, but that's all she talks about. I remember wishing that I would close my curtains on Christmas Eve, and then when I got up in the morning and opened them, it would have snowed. And when I was young, because it was a long time ago, that did occasionally happen, and it was the most exciting thing ever. And I also remember that one Christmas, that is not me, but I did have a little plaid pinafore like that and bunches at one point. But I remember one Christmas, me and my sister were both desperate for kittens. We loved cats. We were desperate for kittens. My parents played it down. Oh, it's going to be a bit tricky and all of that. By the time we went to bed on Christmas Eve, no kittens had arrived in the house. But we went downstairs in the morning when it was still dark to look at the presents under the tree. And as we opened the living room door, we could hear something moving. And like me and my sister were like, oh, it's a ghost. We did a bit clueless, didn't really catch on. But it was two little kittens in a box. And somehow my parents had managed to creep out at night and pick up these kittens and put them there for us. And the cutest kittens you've ever seen. And best Christmas present ever. The most exciting. But as we get older, I think the things we long for in our life change a bit, don't they? Often the things we long for become focused on relationships or on family. We long for a special someone, or for sometimes we wish for damaged relationships to be restored. Sometimes our longings center around the cares and the stresses of life, and we just long for a bit of peace or a bit of respite from responsibility, a good night's sleep, financial security, less physical pain or mental anxiety. And then sometimes our longings are just for the world. I don't know about you, but I long to turn on the news just once and not see violence, famine, abuse, greed, division. I wish that the food bank and Hope For and CAP could shut down because people weren't hungry or homeless or deep in debt. And sometimes we just think the world shouldn't be like this, don't we? But we don't know where to begin, really, with finding the reasons or the solutions. It's all a bit overwhelming. But God has given us the reasons and the solution. Not easy ones. Not quick ones, but true and effective ones. See, God says we need to go right back to the beginning for the reasons, to the time when mankind decided that we knew better than God and we were going to take control of our lives. When Adam and Eve made a choice to disobey God and eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge they gained was not wisdom as they had thought they would get, but first-hand experience of living outside of God's will, of the shame that drove them to hide from him and from each other. They learned to shift responsibility away from themselves onto others. And as a result, they forfeited eternal life and the abundance of the natural world, the ease of human relationships based on trust and love, and most costly of all, the presence and the friendship of God, who cannot tolerate sin, and who had to become our judge when all he wanted was to be a loving heavenly Father, ruling over creation in harmony with itself and with him. As a result, all of us human beings are born with a deep sense of longing. Longing for connection, for acceptance, for significance, purpose, security, and something or someone greater than ourselves. And when we don't look for these things from God, we either put too much pressure on people to provide them, or we go looking in unhealthy places. No influencer or dream partner can provide the kind of sacrificial, faithful love that God can. No material possession can provide the security that he can. No video game or TV program, not even Strictly, can provide the sense of purpose which God gives. Just distraction. No gourmet food and drink or sexual experience can provide the lasting satisfaction of our appetites. Only God can satisfy the longing of our hearts. I don't know if anybody picked up on this news story the other week. Did anybody see this? Boris Johnson did a lot of talking about fatzos. He was saying when he was young, kids ran around, played outside all day, nobody was a fatso. Now they're all fatzos because they all sit indoors all day and they just stuff their faces. He used the word fatso a lot, which some people have pointed out was perhaps slightly hypocritical. But what he was saying was the Church of England, and Justin Welby in particular, was responsible for not meeting people's spiritual needs. And so people are gorging on unhealthy food and all becoming fatzos. Sorry, I'm not going to say that word anymore. It's very derogatory. But his quote was, "The living bread is being provided by Tesco." Now, I might not have liked the way he said it, but he does have a point. Spiritual hunger cannot be met with physical or human resources. And that's why we need Emmanuel, God with us. Because if we try to fill the emptiness in our life caused by the lack of God's loving presence with the wrong things, we will never be satisfied. And in our selfish pursuit of what we need and what we want, we will cause harm to ourselves and to others. The problems of the world can be summed up in three things: the human heart, the human mind, and the human spirit. And we cannot have God in our life unless the problem of sinful hearts, minds, and spirits is dealt with. You know, at Christmas, it's a time to thank God that he took the initiative to deal with this problem. In the most unlikely way, the birth of a child who could show us what it looks like to live every day in God's presence, who could die to deal with the problem of sin, who could rise again to show us that he has conquered death, and who could renew a person's heart, mind, and spirit so that we can live in a totally different way. But at the beginning of this season of joy and hope, let's acknowledge and pray for our broken, hurting world that mostly doesn't know that there is a Saviour who is the solution to its problems. But for those of us who do know God, who have had relationship restored, sometimes it still hurts. And David and Karen are going to come and read us a psalm which expresses that.
Psalm 42.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with him?
My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?"
These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts and of joy and praise among the festive throng.
Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?
Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar.
Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life.
I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?
Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Thank you. So Jesus promised when he was here on earth, didn't he, that we can receive God's gift of forgiveness for sin if we put our faith in Jesus' death on the cross, and if we make God the Lord of our life, as he always should have been. Jesus also promised he would then be able to be with us always by the Holy Spirit coming to live in us. That's a wow. That is a real wow. We sometimes take it for granted, but it's something that only a few people could experience before Jesus came to live with us as a human being. King David of Israel was one of those few who knew what it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But in this psalm, what he's describing is the anguish and the desperation of crying out for God and not feeling he's there. The psalm was probably written when David, later on in his life, had been betrayed by his son Absalom, who tried to seize the throne and who plunged the whole country into civil war, and David was forced to go on the run. His distress is very real. He says he's constantly in tears, that he's downcast, he's disturbed, he has physical symptoms, an ache that goes right to his bones, and he has disturbed nights, all his fears rising up to plague him. Isn't that how it happens? You can put things aside during the day, but at night, you can't get away from it. He's grieving for the good times that he used to know, when he was able to celebrate God, worship with him in the temple, in joy and in safety. And what's more, his enemies are loving it. And the worst feeling for him is that God has abandoned him. God seems to be nowhere to be found, just when he needs him most. David is desperate for God, like a wild animal panting for water to quench its thirst. And he's honest enough to voice even the thought that he feels God has brought all this on him. This picture was taken yesterday in Porthcawl in South Wales, normally a lovely little holiday beach. Water can be a lifeline in the heat of a desert, but it can also be a frighteningly powerful force. And in verse 7, David says, "Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." This is not a good thing for David. He's saying the same thing that Jonah said when he was literally thrown overboard into a stormy sea. Jonah said, "You have hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me." But twice, David refuses just to live in his feelings, but to stand on what he knows to be true. In verses 5 and 11, he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." And if you actually look at that last line there, "my Saviour and my God," the literal Hebrew words are "for the help of his presence, for the help of his face to see him." So in the middle of feeling alone, what David is saying is that he knows God is his hope, as he has been many times in his life before. He can look back at the time in his youth when he was on the run from Saul and God was with him. He can look back at the many battles he's gone through and know that God was with him. And so now he can deliberately choose to put his trust in God. That phrase, "for the help of his presence and the help of his face," means that he may not feel God's comfort or joy or help right now, but he will know it again. Christmas is a difficult time for some of us. Even within our own church family this year, some of us have lost people we love. Some of us have faced immense difficulties. And it sometimes feels a bit difficult to be jolly and Christmassy when things are tough. I think what this psalm and what Emmanuel, God with us, means is that although it may be a bit hard for us to be the life and soul of the party, and we don't have to be, we can yet stand on the truth that God is with us. The trials and the hardships that we go through are the Lord's discipline for us. Now, I used to think that meant punishment. But if we look at Hebrews 12, what it tells us that it's God's punishment as a loving Heavenly Father is actually just allowing hardship into our life in order to develop things like holiness and righteousness. Things actually which cannot grow during easy times. When my mum was dying of bowel cancer, I was teaching at the time, so I was working. I was travelling down to Wales to visit her every week, and it was a terribly sad time, but it was also very precious. And I learned during that time that the supernatural peace of God, which Jesus promised us, can be very real. I also learned how to love her as she needed to be loved. A punnet of her favourite raspberries made her face light up. A pair of socks with soft grip tops brought relief to her swollen ankles. We learn things in the tough times that we cannot learn any other way. And finally, let's remember this Christmas that however dark the world seems, however difficult the circumstances of our lives, the God who is with us is good. The coming of Jesus to be with us in the flesh shows the depth of his love. That phrase, deep calls to deep, I think it is a slightly mysterious phrase, but I think one thing it can mean is that in the depth of our need, we discover the depth of God's love. And when we're rooted and grounded in that love, we can have the strength to comprehend with all the saints, that's every single one of us who's trusted in Jesus, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. We're going to spend a little time just reflecting now on what it means for us personally to have God with us, who God means to us, who God is. I've put some cards on your seats. I apologize, we didn't quite have enough cards to go all the way around. You don't have to fill in the cards if you don't want to, but if you'd like to, if that helps you to reflect and to meditate on who God is to you, then feel free. Otherwise, you could just have a look at these words and think about them and what God is saying to you. And as we do that, Debbie is going to come and read a poem that she's written about who God really is.
Who am I? You say I am. Then if you are, who am I? A riddle, a puzzle, a confusion of thought. Please tell me your name, do not taunt. I am your morning sunrise when you greet the day. I am your noonday labours, your work and your sweat. I am your evening time when all is at peace. I am your sweetest slumber and much needed rest. I am in the scars hidden from human eyes. I am the softest of caresses and the deepest of sighs. I am your skin, your bones, your flesh, your hair. I am the essence that is you, made for my pleasure. I am a gentle whisper that warms your face. I am a winter chill that brings icy cold shivers. I am the sky, the ocean, the sand beneath your feet. I am the beauty of a sunrise and at its set. I am your deepest need. I am your questions unanswered. I am around you, within you, and I beckon you, come in. I am to you what this life cannot give. I am the one who gives freely, and I rejoice that you live. I am your comforter, the healer of all of your ills. I am your strength, your sustainer in the darkest of days. I am the song singing over you and the orchestrator of time. Why do you still wonder and question my name? I am love.